This podcast is brought to you by Plixer. The network knows. So should you. Learn more at Plixer.com.
This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller, and we are on opening day of Cisco Live 2019 in beautiful San Diego. And I'm with Matt McPherson, who is the CTO for wireless for Cisco. Matt, thank you for joining me today.
Good to be here.
So first of all, what does the CTO of wireless for Cisco do?
So I have responsibilities in a couple different areas. My main focus is access technologies. So I'm looking at access technologies both on the service provider side, what's happening in 5G, 5G NR. I'm looking what's happening on the traditional enterprise side, what's happening as Wi-Fi starts to progress into this next generation known as Wi-Fi 6 or 11AX from a specification standpoint. But it doesn't stop there. We're also looking at technologies around location, 11MC, AZ. We're looking at 60 gigahertz and AY. We're looking at the narrowband type technologies that are starting to pop up. So how do all these different technologies come together in order to meet not only enterprise requirements and needs, but also what the service providers are doing, and how do we actually combine these enterprise and service provider networks to provide a better service to students, to customers, to employees, to contractors, depending on where you are and what venue you're offering that service.
So one of the technologies you're showcasing here at Cisco Live is actually available to anybody attending Cisco Live.
That's right. So open roaming is, I think, what you're referring to. So you might be familiar with a technology called Passpoint, which has been in the industry for some time. And what Passpoint allows you to do is to roam between Wi-Fi and service providers. Very effective technology. When we went and did Mobile World Congress Americas in this last event, we had over 80% of the attendees just automatically connected to Wi-Fi and did that securely using Passpoint technology. What we're doing with open roaming is we're really opening the set of relationships that you can have when it comes to roaming. Typically, we think of roaming from a service provider standpoint, how an operator would roam with another operator. But you know what? There's all sorts of credential providers out there, like Google, Facebook, PayPal, Visa, right? I mean, you could be Target. Red card represents a credential, right? So there's all these different credential holders that they're strong credentials, and they can be used when you're onboarding somebody into an access network. And there's all these access networks out there. In fact, in 2017, there were over 124 million Wi-Fi access networks. By 2022, there will be over 500 million Wi-Fi access networks. So how do you automatically and securely connect to all these Wi-Fis that you come into contact with day in, day out as you travel around? I'm sure when you came to Cisco Live, you went into your hotel, and what did you have to do?
Right.
You had to go to some portal.
Log on.
You had to put in your name. You had to put in your room number. Maybe that was easy. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe the portal came up. Maybe it didn't come up so well, right? Depending on the device, right? You know what we want to do? We want to kill the portal. We want to kill the portal. So what we do with Hotspot 2.0 is we push a certificate or a credential from these different IDPs, and then the locations can accept those different credentials or their own, and then you just automatically connect. And that's what we did here at Cisco Live. When you loaded the app, you signed into the Cisco Live event app. What it did is it loaded a profile onto your device. In that profile was an encrypted certificate. That encrypted certificate was authenticated against our AAA, and you just onboarded, and you never even saw it happen.
Now, why is this superior to sort of the normal Wi-Fi that's offered at most venues?
So what I would say is, you know, usually when you're at a venue, and this depends on the vertical,
right?
If you're retail.
So I guess hotel's a great example,
Hospitality is a great example, right? So what you really want to do is to provide the best experience possible. And the best way to provide the best experience is first get them on the network, right? Once they're on the network, whether you're doing this through an application, whether you're doing this through your multi multi-channel marketing campaigns. What you do is you have better reach to those folks. You can see how those folks are using the network, not by identity. I don't want this to be confused with privacy.
Right.
But what you can do then is you can collect the analytics and the experience people that are getting. Are they getting good Wi-Fi? Are they handing off AP to AP well? So as they move around, mobility is working. When they come off of LTE and they go into Wi-Fi, was the transition smooth? All these assurance analytics now become something that the venue can collect. What are the paths people are taking through the venue? What are the busiest parts of the venue during the day, right? All of those analytics now, if they're on the Wi-Fi, you can collect and actually then provide better services as a result.
Let me provide an acid test question with regard to this. You know, I'm a Kaiser user, and you go on, and the clinic that I go to, there's just no cell service at all. So you have to use their Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Would it work in a health care setting with all the HIPAA rules and everything?
Yeah, I spent most of the morning talking to healthcare. Believe it or not, I actually talked to four or five of the biggest healthcare providers in the U.S. And what's interesting about that is, providing guest services, whether people are staying in a room or visitors are coming in the hospital, or if somebody's going to a clinic. So you have all these locations where you have these doctors. It's not just the hospital.
Right. It's a lot of communication.
That's right. And so you have all these different parts of the venue that represent that overall healthcare provider and the service that they had to offer. Now, what you can do is that these different clinics and the hospital and the healthcare system can all join the Federation for Open Roaming. That means when you go to any one of these locations, you will be automatically onboarded into the system. And in fact, if someone like Kaiser wanted to provide a credential based on their users, they could actually use their own credential to onboard people into the Wi-Fi while they're visiting the facilities, the doctors, et cetera.
And it would know you.
Have
information.
Now, but Open Roaming actually has two modes. It can work in anonymous mode. If you're very concerned about privacy, then you can automatically connect and it's anonymous.
Right.
If you're willing to join because of your Kaiser credential and you want Kaiser to know because you want them to understand the previous services that you had, right? You want them to understand what current medications you're on. If you associate a user with that authentication, all that becomes available and you can automate those things. And, you can start to eliminate some of the mistakes people have when they're reading a chart or they're, going through the paperwork that you wouldn't have when you can associate these things individually.
And I'm starting to think that it would also gather information. I was there, behaviors and other things like that.
Yeah, and when you think about behaviors and things like that, there's ways to do this that's anonymous. In other words, where do people typically go? Do they have an easy time finding this particular service, getting to X-ray, et cetera? Are people wandering the halls? You don't have to know who someone is
to know
those things.
Yeah.
Right? How do we optimize it? How do we do wayfinding? All of those types of things. But to offer those services, get them on the network. So what happens is that Open Roaming becomes a very fundamental building block to just providing a better service in the venue that they're visiting.
Now, what about Wi-Fi 6?
So Wi-Fi 6 is extremely interesting because all previous generations of Wi-Fi were based on OFDM, and they were contention-based. They were basically, transmit, collide, back off, try to transmit again. So you'd get into venues like where we are here, and you get into these high-density situations. Look at a keynote. You have all these people tightly seated, and they're all trying to go into the Wi-Fi network. They're all trying to transmit. A CEO or something says something interesting, and all the press guys try to hit the network at the same time. They're shooting video, right? So as these things are happening, as you're contending for the network, what happens is that the more people that are on the network and the more traffic they're sending, the more likely the two people are going to try to send at the same time, and they're going to contend, and they're going to collide.
Right.
And when they collide, they have to back off, and then they try again, and they back off, and they try again. And what happens is if you get lots of people backing off and trying again, as more people get on Wi-Fi, it can become less efficient in what it gets in throughput.
A lot of frustration.
And we've all had it, right? With Wi-Fi 6, we go into a new domain. We go into OFDMA. And OFDMA means we can schedule in the frequency domain. And the ability to schedule in the frequency domain means that we can send small packets and large packets at the same time within the same frequency. We can schedule that air interface so that instead of having all of these collisions, we know what the expected throughput is. So the delay characteristic is very consistent. The throughput characteristic is very consistent. And as density goes up, it remains consistent. So this more deterministic behavior opens up a whole new domain. I mean, think about a heart monitor at a hospital on Wi-Fi, and somebody comes, some kid comes in with their Wi-Fi device and starts colliding with the RF.
Right.
Right?
Not good.
Not good, right? Because that Wi-Fi device looks like a rogue to the network, and so they're trying to steer around it, and they're trying to move you to a different channel, and he's walking around with this Wi-Fi device. Right? We have this happen all the time. I mean, even your phone can act as a Wi-Fi device, right?
Right.
You know, going up into LTE. Now what you can do is you can actually isolate these things, and you can schedule these things and get a more deterministic result. So isn't that better when you have mission-critical type applications? Isn't that better when you're trying to page the doctor? Isn't that better when you're connecting sophisticated IoT equipment or even something as simple as a light bulb?
You know, and historically at Cisco Live, it's been all about IoT for a number of years at least.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we talk about how many I'm holding a smart device here. This happens to be an iPhone, you know, XS. We talk about how many devices are on the network today, and we talk about the IT administrators having to worry about those devices and connecting them either at the enterprise or in a public venue. And then we get into IT, and we start talking about smart devices that we're wearing. Right. We start talking about every light bulb, light switch.
Right.
We start talking about equipment. Now even robots are starting to move around. I mean, they got a robot I saw recently that will actually go out and pick weeds out of your garden now. Right. So everything's going to go on IoT. How soon before we have a smart shirt?
Right.
Right. So
at least to be able to find it.
That's right. That's right. Maybe it won't get lost when it goes to the cleaners. But look, that's orders of magnitude more devices. And in the past, you know, as an IT administrator, as a mobile service provider that's providing a service, the number of people that you need to manage a certain number of devices has been fairly set, right? But now we're adding these orders of magnitude, but we can't add orders of magnitude more people. Right. So I think when we start to get into IoT, there's a couple of questions that you really need to answer. It's, well, how do we onboard these IoT devices? Maybe these IoT devices are kind of, I was going to say dumb. You know, they don't necessarily have to be dumb, but maybe they don't have a screen. Maybe they don't have a keyboard.
Right.
So how do you securely onboard that IoT device when it doesn't? It's headless.
Simple is a good, maybe a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it has to be simple, right? And so there's a lot of work that we're doing. One is that we're making it very simple to onboard IoT devices. We talked about a hotspot 2.0. We talked about Passpoint. We talked about open roaming. What we'd like to do is to start introducing similar technologies into IoT so that they can just securely and automatically attach, right? In the meantime, because the stacks and a lot of simple IoT devices aren't that sophisticated, there's other ways to address it. So you can scan in a device and claim your ownership of that device, and then it will bring it onto the network. We talked to a lot of IT administrators. What we're hearing is that they're feeling like IoT is happening to them, right? You have these OT departments,
right.
And that particular department has a mission. That mission might require certain IoT devices in order to accomplish their work, and they just start showing up on the network,
right?
Another OT department, right? They'll have completely different things that they're doing, or you go to a university and they have all these Alexas, Google Homes showing up, and you know, so these things are popping up. So IoT is happening to them, and people are onboarding them into the network. But the trick is, how do you onboard IoT devices into the network while meeting the policy requirements of that network, meeting the security requirements not only of the OT department, but the IT department for the organization that's responsible for security of those types of things? And so we're doing a lot of work in that arena as well. How do you want to onboard? And then once a device is onboarded, what's the characteristic of that device? And how do you know if it's been compromised? And if it has been compromised, how do you protect the rest of the network, right? Now, we were talking earlier about a heart monitor at a hospital,
right?
So say someone hacks into that heart monitor, right? So what do? You turn it off? Do you disconnect it from the network?
Right.
And you go, wait a minute, it's monitoring a heart, right?
Right.
But you don't necessarily want to hack heart monitor with, you know, that now has a virus that starts spreading through your network. So what you do is you take that heart monitor and you isolate it in its own segment. You isolate it from the rest of the network. It's still doing its function. It's still providing data, but it doesn't allow it to spread. And then the IT administrator, or the people managing and administrating the network, can go address that issue, right, and correct it without having it spread, impacting the rest of the network, but still protecting it at the same time.
Now, we're also hearing a lot about automation these days.
Yeah, so automation is becoming more and more important because, you know, sometimes when we look at all the sophistication that's happening in networking today, you start thinking, wow, that's getting pretty complex. We have all these new protocols, we have all these new capabilities, we have all these new policies, right? It used to be when you'd have to configure a Cisco network, you'd have to be very familiar with the switch.
Right.
You'd have to be familiar with the switch by model number, right? Because it might have different numbers of queues and priority queues. It might have different amounts of TCAM and how many ACLs it can hold. And so you had to know this, and to know all this, you got a CCIE, right? And so you spend all this time configuring all of these things, and then you'd monitor it, and you'd make sure that you were getting the results that you need. The idea behind automation is that you go into a higher layer, you go into DNA Center, and you tell DNA Center what policies you want in your network, your security policies, how you want the network segmented, what devices go onto what segments, what types of devices go onto what segments, your quality of experience. You can specify that all in DNAC. And then what happens is that you don't have to know all the features and characteristics of a particular switch because DNAC knows all the features and characteristics of that particular switch. You set the policy, and that automation sends that configuration down to that platform so that you can get the policy that you want to enforce. But just as important as that automation is the reverse direction. It's analytics. It's assurance. So after you push this policy, you know what our customers ask us? Are we getting it? How do we know? Right? How do we know the experience is good? How do we know that we've isolated traffic? How do we know that that we're authenticating and things like that? So now that these assurance analytics are also coming back from the network, and we collect it from every point. We collect it at the AP, we collect it at the controller, we collect it at the switch, we collect it at the core switch, we collect it at the router going into SD-WAN. So now that if you have a problem, if you come into a facility like this and you can't get on Wi-Fi, what do you say? You say, Wi-Fi's broken.
Right, right. I can't. Right? Yeah, it's not working.
You know what? Wi-Fi might be fine.
Right.
You know, it could be the AAA didn't respond. It could be that the WAN connection is completely clobbered, overwhelmed, because there's a big conference going on next door, and it's consuming all the bandwidth. You just know you're getting a bad experience. And so if the ticket is opened, then you say, hey, look, the Wi-Fi was broke, but it wasn't. Right? But now, because we're pulling that analytics into that data lake and we're doing that intelligent analysis and machine learning, now we can say, oh, you know, for Doug, when he was going at lunch, when he was going into this network and he was having this problem, this is what was happening. Right? And in fact, we do it proactively. Right? So even before you realize you're having a problem, we're doing this monitoring to see when problems start to crop up so that we can steer around these problems through AI. Right? So that's why this next generation is so important, I think.
Now, I know this might be an easy question for you, but I got to ask, why should we buy wireless from Cisco?
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, you have all these specifications. Right. You've got this new Wi-Fi 6 or 11AX specification. And, you know, everybody can implement that specification, but how you implement that specification and how efficient that implementation is where the difference really lies. Right? Let's take an example. I talked about scheduling in Wi-Fi 6 so that you can get better deterministic behavior, but the specification doesn't tell you how to do that scheduling.
Right.
It just tells you how the protocol works in order to accomplish that scheduling. So what will differentiate the vendors, the difference between an enterprise class AP or a service provider, you know, carrier class AP and a home, I wanted to say a brand, but I probably shouldn't say a brand, but those simple, very cheap APs is that level of sophistication, right? So when you're doing things like scheduling, how efficient that RF is going to be, how well you steer around traffic, how much information is being collected so that you can troubleshoot, how much machine learning you're doing so that you can better optimize and tune your network, that's where the differentiation is really going to lie. So we're going to push these standards. You know, we even work with our competitors, right, when we're pushing the standards, because we want to together make a better world where Wi-Fi and things like 5G and R can actually address new markets, new business cases, solving connectivity around the planet, right? We want our competitors to do that and work with this. But then, you know, look, we'll compete for our piece of the pie.
Right.
Right? And we'll compete for that piece of the pie because we believe that we can implement it better than anybody else. And we've got several thousand engineers that think the same thing.
But you're pushing for higher standards and better.
So we're pushing for higher standards across the board.
So, you know, we have a number of different technologies playing out here. What do you see? How do you see this playing out?
So I think, you know, what's interesting is that if you look at wireless today, there's really two dominant stacks. There's LTE and there's Wi-Fi. And over 80% of traffic today is actually carried by Wi-Fi. That surprises a lot of people, right? Because they think of LTE as this ubiquitous,
it's
available everywhere, right? Yeah. It's interesting. Wi-Fi is in hotspots, but the fact of the matter is that Wi-Fi is in the hotspots you care about.
Right. I was just thinking we spend most of our time in those hotspots.
You're most of the time in those hotspots, right? So if you consider home and work, just between the two of them, about 45% of your traffic is home.
Yeah.
Think Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And about
you're not using LTE
35%
at home.
Is in the LTE. That's 80%.
Yeah.
Right? So
you may even have a Wi-Fi in your car.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So in that case, you might be using an LTE or 5G NR backhaul to the car.
Yeah.
Right? Which makes sense. But in the car, you might be using Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you're going to see those types of technologies. So as we're looking at this next generation, I think it's really important because sometimes we get people that are fairly zealous towards one technology or the other.
And they glint in their eye.
That's right.
Yes.
And they think, oh, you know, this technology is going to take over the other one, right? But what we're seeing is that if you really want to provide the best wireless capability to the most people anywhere they are at the best cost, you're going to leverage both of these stacks. And as we see these stacks develop, I mentioned earlier that they're using some common technology like OFDMA. As you start to see these overlap, this overlap that's happening between the Wi-Fi world and the LTE or 5G NR world, that overlap is actually good. It shouldn't scare us.
Right.
Right? Because the fact is that as we offer heterogeneous access, connectivity wherever you are, in some cases connectivity might even use both simultaneously, that overlap is important. Because it means we can provide a ubiquitous service as we're mobile, as we're out and about, and wherever we are, right? So this overlap is very important. It's an area where Cisco is spending a lot of time, right? How do we leverage both sides of this house so to provide not only the user a better experience, but with using assurance analytics, providing the IT department an easier way to install, configure, and monitor, and troubleshoot to allow a service provider that's doing an MSP service into a venue like we're at today at Cisco Live. So they have the same services. They can pull those analytics. They can see the experience that's happening. And to do that from both sides of the house, I think, is going to be very important.
Well, Matt, thank you for giving us a really big overview of where we are with wireless and the issue of mobility in the office and home and so on with Cisco. Where can we learn more?
So you know, you can always go to cisco.com. But I know a lot of customers hate that, hey, go to cisco.com and try to dig through 10,000 documents.
I bet there's a part of cisco.com dedicated to all this stuff.
That's right. So if you go specifically and you look for open roaming, you'll see about these new technologies that are available for automatic connectivity. And also look for Wi-Fi 6. Because you see a lot of new capabilities and technology there. And if you're on the 5G side, look at what we're doing in our EPC, or the Evolved Packet Core, because there's a lot of work happening in 5G and licensed technologies, and now what's happening in new areas like CBRS around LTE and what we call shared spectrum or lightly licensed spectrum. So those are a couple keywords: CBRS, Wi-Fi 6, EPC, if you're on the service provider side, and we'll get you to the right information.
Matt, again, thank you very much indeed for a really nice overview.
Oh, one more. Don't forget intent-based networking, because that's where your automation and your assurance analytics comes in. So very important, because that's the new architecture for networking going forward.
Thank you for joining me today.
All right. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Plixer. Plixer's security and network intelligence platform delivers a fresh perspective for managing and securing your business. The network knows, so should you. Learn more at plixer.com.